I think about Tekashi 6ix9ine like a lot.
Screws, screws.
I'd have to say in the butt, Bob.
I don't know if upset's the right word. Extremely weird. Fucking concerned.
Hello and welcome. We are back from the BallerLifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Oh, hold on, I'm gonna fuck with my mic stand here. Not a euphemism. Episode 265. Thank you very much for being part of our journey. We're on a journey here. My name is Brian Beckner, as I said, joined now and each and every week by our very own Ed Daly. Ed, what is up?
Not much. Not much. We just we have another special show.
We're gonna do it's in honor of the upcoming NFL draft. We're gonna do our own game show draft today. Are you fired up about the NFL draft, Ed?
I'm not fired up is the wrong
word. What are the Redskins needs?
Everything, but they need a quarterback because they got Alex Smith a year ago and then he snapped his leg in half to the point where he's had like four surgeries and nothing's taking. Like, all right, need a new quarterback.
And I heard like all his money was guaranteed. So good for Alex Smith. What the one NFL player that gets hurt and still gets all the money.
Good for him.
Well deserved.
He seems like a nice guy.
What they should do is the Cardinals, they like this Kyler Murray, who's my size.
But
doesn't weigh as much.
The dude plays so fucking fast.
He's good.
He's fun to watch.
Yeah, he's good. So the Cardinals like him, and they drafted a quarterback last year, UCLA's Josh Rosen.
I would like the Redskins to trade for him. That's what I would like.
Yes! I can't believe team's not lining up
rumored.
To do that.
Yeah, because you'd have to give up like a third rounder for him. Why not?
It's crazy. Like, he was the 10th pick last year, and the only reason he went after some other quarterbacks is because he has opinions.
Oh, I don't know if he loves football because he said that he likes to read in his free time.
Right. And also he didn't think it was fair that the guys that he played with in college had to ration their training table meals because they didn't have any money.
Yeah.
And he thought maybe they could get a little money from the university for playing football. Yeah.
What a piece
of shit. Yeah. Get him out of this. I'm surprised anybody drafted him at all, which is an awful guy. And he didn't get to really do anything last year because they had the worst offensive line.
Yeah, the worst offensive line. They're like, well, he made some tough decisions. He was running. He was running for his life.
Right. Bring him into DC. The guy's good.
I'm all about the Chosen Rosen, but I don't know if they're going to take him.
If I sound fucked up today, it's mostly worn off. It's like I had another dentist appointment where they had to numb half of my mouth.
I got the dentist 10 a.m. tomorrow. Not like I realize I got to floss for, I do my twice a year flossing the night before.
Yeah. Yeah. You pointed out that.
Do you floss? I go.
I floss. Yeah, I floss all the time.
Sometimes.
No, I floss every day. And then I go to the dentist and they're like, oh my God, what's going on in here? And I'm like, you motherfuckers. I have the Sonicare toothbrush.
Yeah.
I use it twice a day. I run it the whole time until it stops, runs for 2 minutes. And apparently I've been holding it at the wrong angle. The hygienist was telling me today, she's like, oh no, hold it vertically.
For fuck's sake. What?
So you know how you hold your toothbrush sideways?
Yes.
Everybody holds their toothbrush sideways, right? And I'm like, yeah, I thought I was all cool. I'm like,
you're
supposed
to go up
it sideways.
And down?
Yeah, I hold it sideways. I angle it towards the gums. And she's like, no, let me show you. And she gets out a toothbrush and she's like this. And straight up and down, like parallel to the tooth, each tooth.
No, that's
go
bullshit.
Like this. Go like this.
And the bristles, they like rotate. So you don't have to go at crazy angles. That's what it does.
Yes.
I don't have that toothbrush. I have like a, was it Braun or, whatever, one of those.
Right, yeah. Oral-B, Braun Oral-B.
Yeah.
I used to have that one. That one spins, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So fuck the angles. I hold it and it does the angles.
Yeah, it does all the spinning. It spins the shit right off your teeth. Anyway, the dentist is bullshit. There was a whole thing this week in the Atlantic, this big long piece about how there's not really any science behind dentistry. That the whole, you know the whole, because remember you pointed out a couple years ago that the New York Times wrote this thing about flossing, and there's never really been any scientific studies that say yay or nay to flossing. Mostly they just say whatever.
And some people, some people have good teeth and bad teeth. Like
that's 90% what it is.
Yeah, I was talking to my dentist one time, and she was like, I have a bunch of black lady.
Oh, nice.
But she just said, yeah, I don't have great teeth. I have, you know, a bunch of cavities.
Yeah, they discover these tribes in the Amazon. These people they've never seen a dentist. They've never brushed a tooth. They've never flossed. They've never done anything to their teeth. And they have these big, strong, bright, shiny, white, perfect teeth. Meanwhile, those of us in civilized societies, oh my God, get text here, are going to the dentist and giving them $1,000 every time.
Yeah.
Anything? What's going on with you, buddy?
Not much.
You want to get into some? Yeah,
I had something, but I've since forgotten. It can't be that important.
Well, I make a note.
I did notice that, and it's a little weird. That there's it seems like there's just it's weird. This is probably the first time there seems to be two different Americas when it comes to political news. Like,
oh yeah.
Sometimes people read something. I don't want to get into the Mueller report, but it's crazy how both sides have victory parades, and you're like, what? Now we're just fully. We're listening to the same thing in here. It doesn't even matter anymore.
It's tribal. It's tribalism.
I mean, this is the ultimate because now everybody's looking at the same piece of information. It used to be, well, they're selectively hearing this, or if you hear a debate and they fact check and they're like, well, he was kind of massaging the numbers here and she was massaging the numbers there. Now everybody's looking at the same thing and it doesn't matter. None of it matters.
I saw a hashtag that was like hashtag fire Sarah Sanders. Is that her name? The one with the eye?
Yes, Sarah Huckabee.
So I saw a thing because she like said one thing in the press briefing, and then in the Mueller report it shows that she said the opposite thing when she was under oath under the threat of going to jail. And people are like, fire Sarah Sanders. And I'm like, why the fuck would you fire her? She's doing exactly what she's asked to do. Like she's doing a perfectly good job. She's not going to get fired.
Yeah, but then she I saw a clip of her on Hannity and they were having like a victory party, how well she came off. It just, none of it matters. Yeah, exactly. Doesn't matter. It
doesn't matter.
Nothing.
No, it doesn't matter. You're not, no one's ever going to be convinced, swayed one way or the
and
other.
I don't claim to know much of anything, but I did see a guy, in my building wearing like a Miller Time t-shirt. It said Mueller Time like a year ago. And I pointed out to Michelle, I was like, no matter what happens, this guy's going to be bummed out.
There's no win in it.
Nobody's winning here.
No, there's not. No winning happening anywhere. Okay. Speaking of winners, we got a voicemail here.
Is there intro music?
Hold on. This computer's super. He's
so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Plus so fucking boring and worthless. Thomas, but he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than Ish. His thoughts are useless shit. He's fat and got big tits. He's Manuel in Gardenia. Whoa, he's Manuel in Gardenia. Whoa.
So, what's your favorite line in that?
Well,
I know the Ish part cracks you up, but like, of the
I
lines,
like when he goes, he's so annoying, and you're like, oh, that's so biting, that's so mean, and then he follows it up, and then he says, plus so fucking boring.
See, it's so funny. I'm partial to the part right before that. I just like how he really hits no one's enjoying. And yes, you're like, yeah, he's gonna run this shit. No one's in. Oh man, it's a fucking masterpiece of a
thing. It really is great. And we have to thank Twitter user Super Lee, who gave me the idea, gave us the idea. Hey, can you put that on Patreon so we can download it? And of course, I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to do it. I might do it tonight.
We've been talking about it. Patreon subscribers are going to get some shit soon.
Yeah, we got some shit coming for the Patreon people.
I've been ready
not
for
least
a few
of
weeks,
which,
but I think we're going to be ready.
I'm ready.
Tomorrow.
I'm ready. Yeah, we got something going. So I will be posting that. I assume it's okay with Brad in New York, because really anybody could just record it off the show if they wanted it that bad. But I'll make it much easier where you can just go to a link and just download it. You listen to that anytime, because it really is, as many people have stated, it's pretty catchy, and it's an earworm. It gets stuck in your head.
Yep.
You get that song going, and you just can't. Okay, so voicemail here. Ed, pick a number between 15 and 30.
Pick a number between 15 and 30?
Yeah, any number between 15 and 30.
18.
Okay, we'll be listening to 18 seconds of Manuel's voicemail. Then pick a number between 1 and 180.
73.
Okay. So we'll start at a minute 13. Hold on. Oh, this is pretty. The Google Voice makes it. Oh, I went right. It's like it knows. I clicked it, and it went to 1 minute. I clicked it again. It went to 1 minute, 7 seconds. I clicked it again. It went to 1:13.
We are operating on a next level right now.
That's amazing. Okay, 18 seconds of this. You ready?
Let's do it.
Okay, here we go.
Ron Kowski. And while I am a diehard Raider fan, L.A. Raider fan, Robert Gronkowski is among my favorite NFL athletes of all time. The guy is a beauty. So his latest exploit was...
Hey.
Okay, so...
Gotta agree. I love Gronk. He's fantastic.
Here's my thing.
Gronk!
I don't like the attitude when people are like, act like you've been there before. Well, what, you're not supposed to be excited for hitting a home run or scoring a touchdown? Like, fuck off. I do like excitement.
No, I like that. Yeah, totally.
I do think Gronk is trying a little too hard. It's a little, like, wrestlerish. There's a little too much mugging for the camera. And it's just a bit much for me. Whereas guys that are kind of like Baker Mayfield that show excitement.
Yeah.
I like that a little more than, like, I just feel like there's a little too much choreographing going on. It's a bit much with Gronk.
And I agree. But here's two things about Gronk that I'll say. Because it's like a lot of people, you could be like, oh, he's choreographing everything. Like, it's a work. But I'll just say two words about Gronk that might change your mind. What? First word, Buffalo. Word number two, Tucson. That's all I'll say.
Okay.
You don't get a lot of real strategic deep thinkers from either of those places. That's all I'll say.
He is one of like three brothers that played D1 college football. The other two brothers went to Maryland, but the good one went to Arizona. It's like, hey, why'd we get the crummy ones?
And I think his dad was some kind of meathead too. Like, may have had a cup of coffee
or something.
Oh, was he? Yeah, something I thought like he might have had a cup of coffee in the USFL or something. But yeah, I know he's a big meathead like the rest of them.
You know who I liked? Who I loved? A non-Redskin that would like do some shit and fuck with the fans. I loved Randy Moss. I know he's great. I know he angered people. I loved Randy Moss.
Randy Moss was so fucking
You just throw
good.
A 50-50 ball, and he got it every time. It was amazing. Yeah,
he was so much faster and bigger than everybody else that all he had to do was run straight down the field, and they would throw it to him for a touchdown every fucking time.
There was that random year, I think it was his rookie year, where like they dusted off Randall Cunningham on the Vikings, and Cunningham just had a cannon. He just threw it up for grabs, and Moss just kept coming down with it.
They went 15-1.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. I was at a Super Bowl party, the one Super Bowl I went to, and Randy Moss was having a cologne launch party at some club in South Beach. And my buddy greased the bouncer, and we all got into this party.
Yeah, nice.
And it was a little scary because I was at a Super Bowl party the night before the big game at a party where Ray Lewis was at. So I was a little nervous because I know he's a little ill-tempered the night before Super Bowls.
Was he wearing the mink?
He wasn't wearing a white suit, so I felt good. Oh, but I was still worried being in his presence. But anyway, Randy Moss was there. And like a coworker knew I was on South Beach and he was down for the Super Bowl and he's like, hey, you're at this club? And I said, you gotta grease the bouncer, you know, $100 a person, whatever it was. And then he and his goofy brother showed up, and his goofy brother was from Minnesota and wanted to like talk to Randy Moss. And Randy Moss was like, yeah, sorry, I don't do any of this. Like, he wanted a picture with him. He's like, no, I don't do any of these. And then while he's saying, I don't do this, a group of girls come up and he's like, oh, sure, whatever you want, honey. And like gets posed for a picture while this goofy Minnesota guy was like trying to talk to Randy Moss. It was the best. It was the best.
That is,
and also,
so good.
And also when the guy walked in with his brother, he goes, you said it was 100 to get in. It was 250 for us. Like the bouncer just sized those guys. Yeah. It was great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Randy Moss, I don't think it took, but his cologne, if you want to Google it, Grab Man Fragrances.
Shut up. What a name.
It was like a silhouette, like a Jordan-like silhouette of him reaching up for one of those jump balls.
Oh, I don't feel like any of those, like Derek Jeter's Adidas cologne, Randy Moss's Grab Men Fragrances. I just don't feel like those athlete colognes ever go.
No. I got to tell you, I tried cologne. Last time I tried cologne, I was maybe 20, 19. I'm not a fragrances guy. So
I'm not a cologne guy either, but I don't know if I have an odor or something. Cause a lot of times like I'm going to leave the house, and as I'm leaving, the sauce will like be like, hey, hold on a second. And she'll grab like little cologne samples that she gets in the mail and like squirt a couple sprays on me before I go. Is she trying to tell me something?
Yeah. She doesn't like your musk.
Yeah. I'm too musky? I smell like a man.
There's a lot of man going on.
I bring the musk.
Yeah, I'm a shampoo and soap guy.
Yeah, of course. Okay, a couple more emails. Let's see what's going on here. Oh, this is our good friend Telly, who we were making fun of last week because he calls in drunk, and then he tweets me, hey, don't play that I called in, that call that I made.
But there's like a lot call. There's a lot of build up to the voicemail that ultimately can't get played.
What's the number, fam? You're never gonna believe this. This is crazy. What should I call in? Like, there's a lot of that. I've had so many Zimas. I'm Jaeger. I'm so wasted. Like, and you're like, all right, this is gonna be awesome. And then it's not. And then so he called in to explain. Let's check it out. Hold on. Oh my God! Hold on. We got all sorts of things playing on this other computer. I need somebody to be doing this part for me, please. Okay, let's try again.
Hey guys, Telly Two Puffs here. Calling in to clear a couple things up.
Telly Two Putts just sounding real normal. Just the, like, hey, standard white guy here. Yeah. Just calling in, sounding white as fuck.
This is your doctor speaking.
This is your accountant. You got your tax appointments next Wednesday.
This is Rick down at Pep Boys. Your car's ready. He's a very generic sounding white guy.
Yeah, just a regular. I like him better drunk.
You could have played the voicemail.
Oh.
Oh, what?
Why'd you say no?
Every time I asked him not to. I anticipated it.
We're gentlemen.
And I was drunk and rambling. It would have been terrible. But anyway, and then the gummy bear shot.
Oh, so then his buddy, LSU Lala, who's got the timber.
Oh, the guy, love that guy's timber.
It's LSU Lala's voice fucks. Like, LSU Lala's voice goes to a Randy Moss party, Grabman fragrances.
He's paying $50 to get in.
Yeah, he's getting in. He's getting in the back door, as LSU Lala likes to do. And then he's getting some of Randy Moss's cast-offs, because he's got a timber, that guy. But, oh, yeah, he didn't like that Telly Two-Putts. I can't believe we're getting this deep into this. Drank something called a gummy bear shot. Let's hear. He's got a review.
I didn't buy it. Somebody bought it for me. It ended up on my tab because
I don't care.
I bought them one back.
Don't care.
And it was good. It was delicious.
It was good. Oh.
Have a good day.
Oh, descriptive. Have a good day. Could you be more white? Have a good day. Have a good day, neighbor.
What's the good word, fellas?
I'll just be over here in a polo shirt being white as fuck.
I would defend him more, but he was coming at me pretty hard for my golf takes. So,
oh, that's right.
So I'll let him take a beating here. Yeah, that's right. The most astonishing thing wasn't the choice of alcohol, is he sent a picture of his bill and it was crazy. It was like
$4.
40 line items and everything was $3 to $4 a pop. Yeah. It was crazy. Yeah.
$4. So, and it said happy hour, $1. So that, does that mean everything was a dollar off? So a beer, instead of $4, $5. A beer would have been $5.
Amazing.
$5 for a beer?
Yeah. I'm not sure what.
I live, a beer is twice that. A beer is between $8 and $10.
Yeah, I would say things are in the $8 range. Most of the stuff, I would say.
$8 and $10 for a beer. And a cocktail, you're looking $14, $15.
You're certainly not looking south of $5 for a fucking cocktail. No. What?
No. No. I don't care what it is.
Even half off, gummy bear, you're not getting $5. No. Get out of here.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Okay. It's one more voicemail here. Hold on.
Hey, guys, and Kate. This is Maddie V in L.A. I'm having a problem, and I need your help.
Maddie V in L.A. I like the local flavor here. V.
Maddie V.
Hold on. Let's listen to it again. Make sure.
Hey, guys, and Kate. This is Maddie V in
L.A. Maddie V.
Yeah.
L.A. I'm having a problem, and I need your help. I think about Tekashi 6ix9ine, like, a lot.
Whoa. Oh, hold on. I'm just going to let this play from the beginning because I don't want –
I like how he just unloads on us.
He gets right into it. He's got something on his mind that he wants to share.
He lets us have it.
Yeah, okay. I'm not going to interrupt him this time. Let's play it again.
Hey, guys, and Kate. This is Maddie V in L.A. I'm having a problem and I need your help. I think about Tekashi 6ix9ine like a lot, like way, way more than I should. You know, I'll go on Instagram and every like recommended video is just like old Tekashi doing his little thing, his little stupid dances, and I just can't get away from it. And I'm definitely not his target demographic. I'm like a 38-year-old white dude. But I like can't stop, like, you know, I'll like Google him all the time. And I think about him like, you know, 5% of my day. And like, I just think about, like, what is he doing right now? Is he, like, sitting on his bed, like, staring at the wall? Or is he, like, out balling with the guys?
He's locked up.
Like, he's locked up.
And, like, what's he going to do when he gets out? Like, where is he going to live? Like, I spent a lot of time thinking about this. And I think it's because other legends, like, you know, Cobain
and Biggie and Hendrix, they like they die in their finality.
Right.
And they're gone.
The yeah. brightest but flames burn the limbo, quickest.
And I just can't get over it. So I need to know what to do. Any ideas?
What? Thanks for that, Matty V. Thanks for the admission.
Beautiful yeah. admission.
What he's saying is he wants closure.
I fear we're not getting it. When I've pictured Tekashi, I kind of picture that first scene in Better Call Saul. I see Tekashi working a Cinnabon in Nebraska.
Cinnabon, yes. With the face tats.
Guys working at mall kiosks, they might be, I mean, he's recognizable, but there are lots of people with face tattoos at mall kiosks serving you stuff.
I mean, he's got multiple 6'9"s yeah. on his face.
I know. It's gonna take some creativity to hide that stuff.
You know, sometimes those tattoo artists, they can like make it into something else. Maybe they could make
like Wino Forever after the Winona Ryder tattoo.
Well, they could do like they could make the 6 into an 8 and the 9 into an 8, and he could just be like, I'm a big Dale Earnhardt Jr. fan.
Or he's Johnny, you know, what is it, from Con Air? Wasn't that Johnny, did he say Johnny 88?
Johnny 88, yes.
Or he could be a rodeo clown.
Just something where he's completely has his face and makeup all the time. So he's got, well, you know what he could do? He's got a big 6'9" on the forehead.
Right.
So that could, he could just get bangs.
That's a good look, actually.
Yeah, it's not bad. And then, so that would cover that up. And there's some other shit on the forehead too, like a name above his eyebrow. But then he's got some issues because there's something underneath. I need to find a better picture to see what it says. But he's got a tattoo directly under his left eye. I'm not sure if I'll be able to zoom this in here. I think it might say 6'9", like spelled out.
Oh.
I can't zoom that in. So that one's going to be an issue. But you know what he could do? Just get it all black, permanent eye black. And he could be like, oh, I just came from racquetball. It's so much glare.
Oh, yeah. Well, he could be on the beer league softball circuit.
Right. Yeah. He's just on my way. Just always, he could always wear like the bike shorts and the pulled up socks. Mm-hmm. And like he's just came from the game, guys.
To be clear, not just bicycle shorts, the gray bike.
Right.
B-I-K-E.
Coach's shorts. That's right. But then now here's the problem. On his cheek, well, all on the side of his face, there's something too. It looks like, maybe like Japanese kanji lettering or something, even though he's not Japanese, which he should be. That's something, cultural appropriation. That's something that Tekashi hasn't been accused of, but that's one thing that it really irks me, is he calls himself Tekashi.
Right. At the least, dude is Puerto at least Rican. Be a quarter something.
Yeah. He's real name, Daniel Hernandez. He's not even Japanese. So on the side of his face, he has the Saw guy tattooed right on his cheek.
Yeah, that's weird because you got diminishing returns with those sequels.
100%. Like, I'm pretty shocked. At first I was going to say Jason Voorhees, but then I was like, no, it's not Jason Voorhees. He's got some red shit going there. And then it just popped into my head. That's the Saw guy. I've never seen any of the Saw features. That's going to be a tough one to cover up. I don't know what he does about that.
I'm looking. I'm thinking rodeo clown might be his only option.
Or what if he does? Yeah, what if he gets like those red, like blush circles?
What, like Raggedy Ann kind of?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Like
the, I see. They, I see
like,
where you're
he gets
going with
one.
This.
He gets one on one side to cover up the Saw guy, and then he gets one on the other side, and then he's got the bangs, he's like, oh, I just have these, I don't know how you explain the red things though, but I do like the whole, I just came from my beer league game, and there's a real glare,
just thought of something lights. Else
playing with Jay Stu.
Perfect.
Yeah,
Disney on Ice. they always wear the big heads.
Oh, yes. Or
nice.
Or any kind of mascot work.
Yeah, he could be Olaf from Frozen, or he could be Texas El Paso's mascot. He could be anything.
What's Texas El Paso's
mascot? He could be a miner.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty sweet. What he can't be is Prospector Pete from Cal State Long Beach. Because we're, I believe.
Are they just going to be dirtbags? I mean, what's going on here?
No mascot might be leading the thing. If we end up the fucking Cal State Long Beach Pelicans.
That's just not a thing.
Get the fuck. The Stingrays?
But can they be? Is Dirtbags up for debate?
Well, Dirtbags is just the baseball team.
But why does it have to be just baseball? It's good for
everything. I don't know. It should be. No, I agree with that. I might have to send the president of college a letter. Strongly worded.
I was going to say, when you send the president something, it's not just a letter. It's got to be strongly worded.
Of course. You don't come
weak at a president with letters.
You don't
letters.
Come half-assed like that. Okay. Thanks for that, Maddie V. Okay. Ed, we talked about this before. I kind of gave it away because of my computer. I had a lot going on my computer. We want to do a celebration of the NFL draft in our own way here. It's the official Baller Lifestyle game show draft commencing forthwith. How do you want to do it? This is a 15-minute YouTube Jeopardy theme song, by the way. I mean, we could just keep
it
going.
I was waiting until it ended. But I would say the way we do it,
yep.
Flip a coin.
Okay.
And we snake it. And we're drafting.
Okay.
And I think we keep drafting. I sent you a bank of shows.
Yep. I'm in.
And I think we do a certain amount of time and as many teams as that takes. And then we finish with an even amount. And then hopefully a listener who's better at this stuff than me.
Yeah, can make a
list. Thing. And then you guys can vote and say who has, if you have, I mean, for people of a certain age, when you had a sick day.
Oh, yeah.
And you were sitting home just watching TV.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Game shows were what you were watching most of the time.
It's true.
It was a daytime staple. It was stay-at-home moms and sick kids. That's who was watching most of this shit.
That's exactly right. You watch some game shows. Maybe a little Gilligan's Island.
Right. Yeah, the reruns came like mid-afternoon. Usually you didn't see too many in that 11 o'clock hour, that kind of thing. That was usually game shows.
Yep, 100%.
So right. These are all game shows that appeared in the 80s.
1980s game shows.
Okay, you're calling it heads or tails. I got a coin.
Okay, what kind of coin?
Quarter.
Okay, all right. Like something with some weight to it. If you're going to flip a fucking dime or a penny on me, we would have some issues. Okay, go ahead and flip it. I call tails. Tails never fails.
You did this time.
Love ass. Heads. All right. Heads! Oh, my God.
So you get picks 2 and 3.
Right.
Okay. Yeah,
that's right.
I'm starting with the goat that is still the goat.
Yep.
First pick, a given. Jep.
Yeah, you got to take Jeopardy. Alex Trebek. Number one.
It is the game. It is the game that you really have to work for it. But when you feel like you know stuff and you accomplish something, you feel good about it. You know, a lot of these other games are kind of bullshit questions. You win Wheel of Fortune.
Jeopardy's hard.
Hangman. You play Jeopardy. You know you've accomplished something when you clean up on a category. Feel good about yourself and.
Totally,
the best,
especially
the best
if we're
host
talking.
Of all.
Oh yeah, he's so condescending.
Love him.
You just love when there's a French, sounding category.
And somebody comes with a weak answer.
Oh, he fucking corrects.
He will light you the fuck up.
He fucking will. Okay, that's the obvious number one choice, Jeopardy. Number two. My choice in the first round. Gotta go with the fucking legend himself. Bob Barker in The Price is Right. Without a doubt.
My number two. Another fun first one to play.
First, yeah, it's a great, well, it varies. You know, there's a lot of different games. And there's some shitty ones.
There are. But you wouldn't have a show full of shitty ones.
No. But all of a sudden, some fucking Plinko comes up there. Yeah. And you're like, fuck yeah, Plinko.
Right.
Or the one where you putt the golf ball.
Yep.
And I just feel like there's a lot of times where I could really get up there and get on stage by fucking somebody over with that $1 above move.
And it must feel great to do that.
Oh, it's the best. And you just know, it's just the person feels so cucked. They're right to your right. They're like, I got this $3,500 for the Kenmore washer and dryer. $3,500, Bob. And you're like, he's like, all right, Brian. And what do you say? And you're just like, oh, I say $3,501.
And unless that guy goes exact, he's fucked.
Yeah, he's fucked. He's just like, oh, fuck. I'm out of this game.
Yeah.
Because you can't go over. Yeah, like I'm straight up out of this game. I'm done. I'm just standing here till next time.
Or how about fuck off. How about when the last guy goes sometimes, or woman goes, and everybody, and she knows everybody's fucked up, and is like, I'm just going to go $1 because I know all you fucked up.
Yes.
That's a good feeling, too.
$1 is so gangster.
That is the best. I can see so all gangster. Of your failures. I'm going $1, and I got
it. Love
you.
It. I just love it. And then also, let's not forget Barker's Beauties.
Yeah.
Now, we're living in the Me Too era, and
when he would make them pull dollars out of his pants pockets.
Yes.
I mean, Barker was from a different era.
He was. And he was known to get a little handsy. They paid off some of the spokes models on the show, I believe.
Some serious dough.
Yeah, it's, it happens. And I don't know how the Drew Carey thing is going. I'm sure it's great. Drew Carey just seems like one of the nicest guys.
Not long ago, I was in a hotel, and I saw him. I got to give him credit. He runs a professional game.
Oh, yeah. I believe it.
Like, he doesn't – I was afraid he was going to put a little too much shtick. But, no, he runs a pro game.
Yeah, I could see it. He's a professional. But I'm just concerned about the Carey's – clams or whatever they're calling the broads that are on the show now.
Yeah.
Drews.
They're not calling them Carrie's Beauties or anything. Yeah, they're
Drews.
Drews screws.
Yes. They're not.
I'll tell you a jarring moment of the childhood. One sick day or a day over the summer, Barker had dark hair. And then one day he's like, fuck it. I'm going white.
Yeah. Remember that.
He went from dark to light overnight.
Stayed with the skinny Mike. I'll tell you this. I knew growing up here in Southern California, you would encounter many people who had participated on game shows, some good, some bad. And a buddy of mine, Mick Rader, he fucking went on that Price is Right. And it was before I knew him. It was like in the early 90s, I think, mid-90s maybe. And the dude cleaned up.
Oh, nice.
He won not only – like
Did
in his
– showdown?
He won the showdown. He won in his thing, I think he won like a jet ski. And then – no, I think he won a car. He won a Ford Explorer.
There was always one janky showcase.
Yeah. And then he went to the showcase and he won the showcase and it was like – a trip to Ireland, another trip somewhere, a fucking jet ski, like all sorts of home appliances and shit. Like he cleaned up. But then he did that thing where he's like, just give me the money.
Yeah.
Like sold it back to the show. Like here. Or he might have sold it privately. I don't know. Okay. Price is Right. My pick to open round two. It's tough because you want to take something that you like, but you also don't want to leave something on the board that your competitor can take. I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to take the Richard Dawson version of Family Feud.
Speaking of issues with ladies, that's a solid one. A solid one.
He was handsy. He wasn't handsy.
I mean, he would mouth rape your daughter.
He was mouthy.
He would tongue your wife right in front of you.
Right in the front
balls
of you.
On that like, guy.
This is my wife Desiree, and he'd be like, "How you doing?" And he'd grab her by the hand, and he'd kiss the hand.
He'd
mouth.
Be like, "Ugh."
He would kiss. Yes, and then he'd pull her right in and just give her one right on the fucking lips. You know what that is, Ed?
What?
That's big dick energy.
He had the biggest of big dick energy.
Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing about that I didn't realize. I didn't realize that Dawson was British.
Yes.
He kind of like low-keyed the accent, and then you're watching Hogan's Heroes, and you're like, oh, wait, this guy's from fucking England.
Right. But like pre-internet, that was like the kind of rumor shit somebody would tell you on the playground, yeah. And your mind would be blown through the rest of the day.
Yeah, like, crazy.
Richard Dawson is British?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dick Dawson. I mean, that guy fucked. Who knows how many grandmas sucked him off backstage?
Oh, you know.
Because I feel like it's a lot.
Yeah. I think the number quite was a few. Quite high. It was so done that European Vacation opened up with John Astin amazing. Playing a Richard Dawson, and he was like making out with the Audrey Griswold.
Totally.
That was awesome.
Oh, that's
picking
so good.
A poke. So I got two here, and it's a lot to go with. I'm going with an ultimate classic, and I think the greatest theme song in game show history. Jeopardy is the iconic one. I'm going Pyramid with Dick Clark.
Totally.
Great theme song. Would get me
Pyramid, $25,000 pyramid, later became $100,000 pyramid, sometimes just pyramid.
Yeah, super. I think there was like a super pyramid, but it was always they're monkeying with the money.
Yeah.
But you know it sucks because right. One guy probably won $25,000 the day before they switched it to $100,000.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's a really good point.
But I don't know. That was a fun game to play along.
Yeah.
Because, like, somebody would be real dumb, and you'd be like, things a carpenter would say. And they'd be like, your order is ready. You'd be, like, screaming at the TV. I just found that to be a real fun one to play along with.
Or they do the thing where they'd be like, zest?
No, you're thinking of Password.
Oh, yeah. What was it? Wasn't
Password
Pyramid Hints
like,
too?
No, well, you would say things, and it would be like things you would see at a zoo or things.
Yeah. Right.
Now the Password was when like the number it would be like 7, and you'd be like 6, like trying to get them to say 7.
Yes, people would be real stupid. Yeah, Pyramid's also good because the proximity to celebrities. Right, I don't think it was celebrities all the time. But there were celebrity versions, right?
Oh, I thought it was all the time. No? I mean, I thought it was one celebrity and one regular person, and then they'd take turns on who one person would be giving the clues and one person would be guessing.
That's right. Yeah. That is what it was. So you could get like Liberace.
Right. You would get Heather Thomas.
Oh yeah.
You would get some
I feel like I wouldn't be too stoked to get Heather Thomas.
No,
like I would be
Liberace.
Stoked.
I don't think Lee knew too many facts.
Right. I'd be stoked to get with Heather Thomas, but I don't think I really would want to be like playing a game of
I don't think her teachers wits. Made her study.
No. Definitely not. Okay.
I got a
it's
wild
to me.
Card. Well no because we're now we'd go
oh,
two
it's
and
Snake.
Two.
Snake.
Okay.
Right.
I'm going one that is not your ordinary classic one, but groundbreaking in its own way. I'm going from 87 to 89, MTV, Remote Control. Oh,
you son of a bitch. Sandler, Colin Quinn.
Who's the Who's the woman?
Oh, Ken Ober.
And who's
So there was multiple women. It started with the great Marisol Massey, and then switched later to Kari Wuhr.
Kari Wuhr is who I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Such a babe. Extreme 80s babe.
That was a fun show.
Very funny show. That was like an afternoon show. Yeah. I'd watch it when I came home from school.
Yeah, that was after school, and that was really taking advantage of the MTV kids, and like really – that was a – everybody watched that thing.
So good. R.I.P. Ken Ober, by the way.
He died?
Dead. Yeah, he's dead.
He couldn't have been died. Old.
No, I think he died like in his 50s. He's been dead quite a while. R.I.P. But great show. Great choice. I'm going to go with, for my choice, a classic game. I know there was one episode in particular that is legendary.
I know where you're going.
I know my close friend Paul is probably a tremendous fan of this show, particularly the time when host Bob Eubanks asked the couple, the husband, he said, "Where is your favorite place to make whoopee?" To which the husband replied, "I'd have to say, in the butt, Bob." Of course, I'm talking about the Newlywed Game. Bob Eubanks, very much a creeper.
And they definitely did a great job of finding really stupid couples.
Yes.
You know? They'd be like, "What did you eat for dinner last night?" And they would always get different answers. It was really impressive how dumb those people were.
Just what color is your husband's toothbrush? Yeah. Like real just simple shit. What's your husband's favorite meal? Just shit like that.
Or and they would say, "When's the last time you made whoopee?" And if you were a remotely intelligent couple and you knew the game,
you'd say last night, yesterday.
You would go over these things. Okay.
Yes.
Made love last night. You know, we made whoopee last night. We did, you know, just very basic things that you could go over. And they never got it. They were always so dumb. It would come down to like one person getting two questions right instead of one question right. It was an entertaining show of dumbs.
Yeah, and it was very of a time, like Eubanks just truly one of, like, if anybody was born, I believe he came out of like Midwestern radio.
Yeah.
He was just made to host these game shows. He had the tan, he had the open collar suit. Like, the dude was just a fucking host through and through. Newlywed Game is my choice. The pick is to me again. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go, I like the shows with the written witty banter.
Okay.
And celebrities on there.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with the 86 to 89 version of the Hollywood Squares.
John Davidson?
Hosted by the great John Davidson. John Davidson was one of those guys who was like a singer.
Yeah.
But he wasn't famous for being a singer. So every once in a while, he just fucking bust out a song and just start singing. He'd be like, "What the fuck is this guy doing?" And people would be like, "Oh no, he's a singer. John Davidson's a singer." It's like Hasselhoff. "Oh no, he's a singer. You don't realize it, but he's a singer." Phyllis Diller would be in that center square sometimes.
Yeah, a lot of Shadow Stevens.
Shadow. Speaking of radio legend, Shadow Stevens was hanging out. Love the Hollywood Squares. And it was a lot. It was real easy where it was like, we asked 87 people, you know, what did they think, or, you know, what was the right answer? And they would always have a joke written for them that they'd bust out before saying their actual thing. Loved it. I'm a Hollywood Squares guy.
I agree with you that was on my next round. Underrated. Mm-hmm. And I think
it's really underrated,
The second version with Whoopi Goldberg, I think they kept the same people. Like, it became like permanent.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
They would
move. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I like that too. Yeah, it wouldn't be the same people every week. You would get the same people back in.
A few holdovers here and there, but you would get Stiller and Mira. You would get new people.
Waylon Flowers and Madam would be in like the bottom left hand corner. Like there's some 80s shit that would never be popular today.
Now
that was super big back then.
Researching this thing, a couple of them, I just wanted to see if I remembered it, and YouTube has everything. And it's worth it. And I'll tell you what, Charles Nelson Reilly was on every show. Amazing. Stiller and Mira were on every show.
The toupee.
And what's her name? Vicki Lawrence was on every show.
Yeah. And could do without her.
I'm going 84 to 89. There were different versions of this show. Guy with a great head of hair. Used wigs, uses it as his avatar on Twitter. Bert Convy, I'm talking about. Super Password. And that's the game you were hinting at before.
Yes. Amazing
Six.
Show.
Six. And then they'd get it wrong, and then the next time they'd just say the same thing. Six. Seven. But another game it was fun to play from home.
Convy had that beautiful perm. Again, a guy that was just fucking set up to host game shows. Yeah.
But I will say, YouTube searches, there were Convies and Eubanks. There are a bunch of guys that you're like, what the fuck is this guy doing?
I know. It's crazy.
Now, I'm gonna take one that is an odd one, but it would spark debate on strategy. And you would have thoughts. I'm talking about Supermarket Sweep. David Ruprecht. Yeah. Which it was not about the host. But you would see people with some terrible strategies. Grabbing like cereal boxes or something that would be like big and not, you know, cost efficient.
Yeah, no. And you go right for the meat. Yeah,
caviar.
You go to the high end. Items, you fucking start grabbing prime ribs.
Tell you what, I bought a big thing of almonds today. You could probably win the game just buying almonds.
So expensive. What? I bought some almonds at the airport one time. Yeah, and as I'm checking out, the girl's like, you know these are $12, right? And I'm like, yeah. I mean, I didn't, but I wasn't going to say no at that point.
You don't want to look like a bitch.
But yeah, you don't go to the middle. You go to the edges. The expensive shit is on the edges. Right.
Messing around with cans of
soup. Exactly. 69 cents.
But you would see people just sweep it. Oh, look how many cans of Campbell's soup I got. Well, you just made yourself like $30.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah.
Just
but a fun game to absolutely like, insane. Think about strategy and wonder what you'd do.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think American hero Guy Fieri. Is hosting I don't think it's exactly Supermarket Sweep, but I think it's like it.
Well, I'm buying what he's selling.
Of course. He's Guy. Like, there's no better man alive than Guy. He's just a great dude.
It's all to the earth.
My guy. Okay, hold on. I had one here that I wanted, and now I've forgotten about it, and I just see so many good choices. I'm going to go with... it. Okay. From apparently only aired 1 year in the 80s, but very popular in the 1970s. And also,
I know where you're going here.
The host was moonlighting doing murders for the CIA.
And he invented a bunch of shows.
Yeah, he did. The guy was a fucking genius. I'm talking about the Gong Show. Have you maybe heard of Cheech and Chong? Well, you wouldn't have heard of him without the fucking Gong Show. How about Pee Wee Herman? Also launched on the Gong Show. It was like a talent contest. Not like these shitty ones that they have on now where Heidi Klum pretends to be like really excited that a dude can juggle. Guess what? Ed can fucking juggle. I've seen it.
It's true. I can.
Not that impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, it is impressive. I couldn't do it. The point is that the Gong Show had fucking real acts on it. Also, had that dude.
A non-comic?
That, yes. What a fucking, what a way to brand yourself as, hey, I'll be a guy that no one knows who I am. Like, my whole fucking shtick will be not being known. This doesn't seem too bright, does it, the unknown comic?
Right, because he could be like, no, seriously, I'm the guy. Yeah, whatever. As, I've heard 30 people say that this week.
I always think that about the remember the magician? And it was like, I used to get sucked into the show. I'd be going to bed, and I'd turn it on, and it'd be on. And I'd be like, oh, man, I'm watching this. Magic's Biggest Secrets Revealed.
Oh, yeah.
And then they'd have a magician there, and he wore like a wrestling mask. And I'd be like, people got to know who this guy is. This is a pretty good idea. But he had to hide from the rest of the magicians.
Up. Those guys would whip him with their little magic wands.
Yes, because he's giving away their shit. As I'm sitting here, Ed, I'm looking out the window of the studio. And from, it looks like it came out of my neighbor's garage.
Uh-oh.
A giant rat came down. And I have a rodent phobia.
Definitely.
A giant rat came down the, what do you call it? The frond, the branch of a palm tree in my backyard, and then fell to the ground and scampered away. A fucking rat.
Oh, disgusting. So disgusting.
I'm going to have to get Kate out there with a shovel to fucking kill this thing. Jesus Christ.
Oh, she's Australian. Okay. She could do it.
Yeah, she's not scared of that. Well, last time there was a dead one in the backyard, I had to have her deal with it. Next one. Oh, my God, it's on top of the fence. It just ran down the fence.
Oh, God. You might have to move.
Yeah, I'm going to move now. Next one, Ed. This is very of our era.
Uh-oh, I'm afraid you're going to take my pick.
Yep, I'm stealing it. No. This is one that if you're our age,
yes, you did, you bastard.
You were watching this. You were like,
oh, this was my pick.
You would find a way to work into a conversation. Hey, I'll take the physical challenge. I'm talking, this was on Nickelodeon. It was the first game show.
I didn't take it.
Strictly aimed at kids.
Yeah, and they would fuck with your parents, right? Or they had the family double.
Yeah, they would. Yes. Yes, they had. First, it was just kids, but they would like make you like crawl through
slime,
foam.
Right.
Yeah, slime. There was sliming going on. Double Dare is what I'm talking about. Mark Summers is pretty annoying. I got to admit, I believe he's Canadian.
Yeah,
a little bit of a douche. That said, Double Dare was a fantastic game show in the 80s that I loved. Yeah, it was
great. It was always, you always hated the kids that would like answer when it got to Double Dare and be like, dare.
Yeah.
Or no, Double Dare. And then instead of taking the physical challenge, then they'd answer it. It's like, we're only tuning in, not for the fucking questions. We want to see the obstacle course.
Take the fucking physical challenge, you fucking pussy. We want to see you climb some shit. A greased pole or something.
Now, I thought you were going with this one, so I'm going to take it because I got scared because on some level, I want this one. Of our age, if you were a boy in this late 80s era, there was a show hosted by many people, including Joe Theismann and Mike Adamley, talking about American Gladiators. They had that joust, Whiplash.
Yeah.
They had that thing where they were shooting tennis balls at you, like 200-mile-an-hour tennis balls. It would fuck you up.
Amazing.
And you would get these giant people just destroying regular people. It was fun.
Yeah, they had all these bodybuilders that were on the show, and it would be like pretty fit guys, like gym guys would come on as contestants, and they would like try to do feats of strength. Like, yeah, they would try to joust with these bataka bats on these two, on these opposing podiums to try to knock the other guy off. Or, there was one where they would like, well, there was one where you had to run, the one you were talking about, where you had to run from station to station and not get shot by this, air powered tennis ball gun. And that thing looked like it hurt.
It would hurt them for sure.
And then at the end, there was like a like an American Ninja Warrior style obstacle course that you would run against a guy from the other team, and but you would like climb over a wall, and then you'd have to run past these big bodybuilder guys. My personal favorite, of course, was Malibu. He was big. He was tan. He looked real stupid.
Loved his hair.
Flowing blonde hair. there was also Nitro on there.
Gemini was the balding black guy, right?
Yeah, Gemini was a bad. But then at one point they tried to have, I don't know if it was just like Charles White like entered the show, or they had like name athletes, and Charles White happened to be one of them. And Charles White, I think, won the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, and but he had a booger sugar problem.
He did. He liked to smoke crack.
I think his knee
but got fucked up. He fucked up those gladiators. Like, he went on there and he was just fucking.
I never saw that one.
He was, yeah, you gotta look on YouTube. He was blowing guys up. Fantastic. Right.
Gemini is not
can't
stopping
believe
a Heisman Trophy winner.
No, Charles White. yeah. That was a good show. I can't believe I didn't draft that one. Great choice.
And then there's a lot to go with here. But I think I might go back to Convy.
Ooh.
I enjoyed a little win, lose, or draw.
Oh. Not a fan. No? It gives me stress, that show. Oh, gives me stress because I can't draw.
I like drawing. I like doodling and stuff, so I feel like I could be pretty good at that.
You'd
show.
Be good at it. You'd be good at it. You didn't want to go with the Vicky Marsh, Ricky Lawrence hosted?
Anytime. Because I did some YouTube searching today, and anytime she appears, I get so agitated thinking about she's the creator of Mama's Family and Star.
Worst.
The worst.
Worst show.
She's not funny. Ugh, worst. The worst. That was my least
hated
favorite
that show
ever.
Hated it. Really despised Mama's Family. Ken Berry.
Yeah.
Was on
it
there.
Was a bad show. Ken Berry. He was working through
songs, song and dance, man. Okay, good choice. I'm gonna go with, and I'll be honest, I dropped the ball. I would have taken this much higher, but I'm glad it's still here. No whammies to me. Oh. I'm taking Press Your Luck, the Peter Tamarkin hosted. It was basically roulette. The show was roulette.
I mean, you had to answer a pretty basic question.
Right.
Multiple choice. It was just watching people play roulette, playing, it was almost Russian roulette.
And also,
because people were ready to kill themselves when they got it wrong.
Right, you get that whammy.
You would answer questions for spins.
Right. Oh, that's right. That's how you got the spins.
And then the famous then one, if you type that into YouTube, you'll see the guy who gamed the whole system.
Yeah, he figured out, and look, there wasn't much technology in the 80s.
Right.
He figured out that every time it lit up the bottom left, like second one from the bottom left, it would immediately, the next one that would light up would be big money or whatever, like the most you could get.
You'd get the most and money and a free spin or something.
Yeah, and he just fucking – it was like when you would jump on the turtle on the first level of Mario Brothers that would give you like 70 million lives.
Right.
It was like that. He would just fucking started going dun, 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 and just fucking gumping people all day long on this game. And eventually they figured it out, right? I mean, it didn't come out that he had gamed the system till later, but it turns out he had like
– Yeah, and they had to pull it videotaped because they didn't want to encourage others.
Yeah, he had videotaped the show every day and just sat there and he studied the fucking tape. Press Your Luck. It was still a great show. Very exhilarating. You didn't. And the thing about that whammy guy is he'd kind of rub it in. You'd get a whammy.
He taunted you.
Yeah, and he'd do like the icky shuffle. Like they would integrate into the animation like stuff from the, like modern references.
I bet they did a Where's the Beef reference.
100% guarantee. It'd be cool if he did the Wolf Out dance like Teen Wolf, because that was very of in that era. Okay, for my next pick, I'm gonna go with. Oh, I had one on here. And I lost. Oh yeah. This dude wore a big ass Rolex. Loved it. Really loved himself. He kind of had a mullet when it wasn't cool to have a mullet. He's come out and as just a real modern douchebag. A friend of the show used to tape something on the same lot as this guy taped this show. And he said the guy must have smoked 125 cigarettes during every break. I'm talking about Love Connection, and I'm drafting it specifically so I can walk onto the set and kick Chuck Woolery right in his fucking dick. Fuck Chuck Woolery. And Love Connection, you go back, there was actually, they'll be like, hey, Tom Selleck was a, actually, I think he was on The Dating Game, but I think Love Connection had like some murderers on it. Like they're like, oh, this guy's a convicted sex offender,
and he's actually also on Love Connection. Dates with three women. Good luck, yeah, girls.
Exactly. So I'll take Love Connection. Fuck Chuck Woolery.
As much as I totally agree, fuck Chuck Woolery. I'm taking him here. I kind of enjoyed Scrabble. You got
back. Oh yeah, that's a good game.
You got two letters. They would pop up. And you would say E or F, and then it would put it into the thing. It would give you a clue. It was almost like playing a crossword puzzle. And you would hit like a you would answer it, and then the clock would stop. And then somebody else would have to solve five words, and they would see if they could beat your time. So it was kind of a game of skill, which I like those more than the other ones. And now it's getting grim because there's a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bad choices now. You know, Family Feud with Ray Combs. I'm not.
I mean, that's one you might take just for the story.
For Ray having a tough end. I'm certainly not taking the old Chargers kicker Ralph Benerska's version.
I really was really shocked. I remember when they're like, Ralph Benerska is the new host. I remember that. And I'm like, wait, kicker? And I'm like, that's wrong. Does he even speak English with that name?
Yeah.
I was stunned by that.
I think people were thinking that was the start of something, and it turned out to be the end.
Wasn't. The end.
I got to say, it's kind of the same thing as the Newlywed Game. I'm going back to Bert Convy.
Like wow.
Tattletales.
You're loving that perm.
Tattletales. They would get stars to
tell stories about themselves?
Yeah, and it was like the Newlywed Game, and then somebody would have to like agree with it. And the one I pulled up was another questionable celebrity. Well, Paul Lynde was his own thing. He's not the questionable one.
God, the best. He was a Hollywood Squares guy. How did I forget that?
Foster Brooks. You remember that guy? His whole rap was acting shit-faced.
Yeah.
So I'm.
Yeah, he pretended to be drunk, but he wasn't.
I know. And then every once in a while, he would slip into his actual sober self. He could never stay in character.
It's hard to act drunk.
But anyway.
Yeah.
I'm taking Tattletales because I just like celebrities. I like seeing them perform. If it's not going to be a perfect show like Jeopardy, I want a little celebrity action in there. Like 100%. Like Pyramid.
Okay. So let's wrap this up. Yeah, so I'm going to take my
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Let's go to 10. We'll do 10 each. I got 9. You've got 7, right?
Okay. So I take 2 and then you take 1, right?
You have 8. So you take 2. Your last 2.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to do this. I'm going to take one for the team. Again, this is strictly for the dick kicking. And maybe check out what was going on with Young Vanna. Talking about Wheel of Fortune. The highest rated show.
Dang, man.
In the 7 o'clock or 7:30 time slot, depending on where you live. For 30 years straight. It is a fucking cash cow. There are so many dumb people out there willing to play hangman. And it used to just be for prizes.
Oh, it wasn't
and
even
people
money.
Were not in. It wasn't even money.
Yeah, it would be for like a desk.
They had showcases where, and it would spin around, and you'd be like, "Okay, I'll take that." You know, they're like, "You have $10,000," and you'd be like, "Okay, I'll take that stereo," and that would be like $700, and you would like count down your money, and then you get once it got under $1,000, they would just give you the rest. It was pretty weak. Pat Sajak, pretty big douche, likes to sit front row at the Dodger games. Would kick him in the dick. Vanna, she had a minute. She was okay. And then I'll also take. Oh. Name that tune.
The
You name it in one note. Is there multiple name that tunes?
Is that the $100,000 name that tune?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I want the big money one.
Yeah,
Name that tune. They would just play a song, and you would have to guess what song it was in the shortest amount of time. I feel like I could really tear that up, or at least compete. Name that tune. Ed, the final pick is yours. What say you?
Okay, this was kind of a rip-off kind of show. How about...
Oh, typing?
Well, I'm just confirming.
You're really sounding like fancy sauce.
It created and packaged by Chuck Barris. Lasted from the 60s through the 80s.
Oh, yeah?
The Dating Game.
Oh, fantastic game.
Jeff McGregor, the host. I looked him up to see if he did anything else.
That was it.
I mean, he was in Spaceballs. He was in some movies.
Oh, he's an actor.
Yeah, yeah, I guess that's it. He was an actor whose career ended as waiter number two in a 2000 movie called Mythic Hero. But he had that kind of smarmy. I mean, it was just like what's the other one? Dating Game, and what's the one with the killers that you were just,
Love Connection.
Love Connection. It was a ripoff of Love Connection, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, it was a good game. I used to watch that.
I don't know what the difference was between that and Love Connection. It's the same thing, right?
Different set. Yeah.
Different
set,
different host. It was like three
broads behind the thing, and they'd be like, "What would you like to do?" And he'd be like, I would get champagne and chocolate covered strawberries and take you."
Yeah, the ideal date was always like a lot of work and not a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we'd be laying on the sand eating chocolate over your body, and it's like, but the sand? I mean, what?
Yeah.
Shouldn't we just, you know, do something else? It was weird. All right, I actually did write them down as we went. So my 10, Jeopardy,
yeah.
Pyramid, yeah. Remote yeah. Control, Super Password, mm-hmm. Supermarket Sweep, American Gladiators, Win, Lose, or Draw, Scrabble, Tattletales, The Dating Game. You've got
Yes.
Price is Right, Family Feud, The Newlywed Game, Hollywood Squares, Gong Show, Double Dare, Press Your Luck, Love Connection, Wheel of Fortune, the $100,000 Name That Tune.
Amazing.
Pretty solid. Amazing. That's a lot of good shows. Reality TV, I know they're trying to like redo. I saw Joker's Wild with Snoop Dogg is hosting a version. They're trying to get that going again, but that really...
Yeah.
Reality TV is what killed
never gonna be.
This kind of game show. Only shows like Jeopardy can last or Hangman.
Remember when Snoop Dogg dodged that murder rap?
Yeah, murder was the case.
Remember he got tried for murder? He was acquitted.
That was Calvin
in a murder
Broadus.
Trial?
That was Calvin Broadus. Yeah. That was not Snoop Dogg.
That was the early days. All right, Ed, we are joined. She's been here. She's been ready. She's been fired up. She's on time and everything. Didn't even make that much noise. Then we made her wait a bit. Of course, I'm talking about our very own pop culture correspondent. Everybody's favorite, Fancy Sauce. How are you, Fancy?
Hey.
Hey. Hey.
What's up? What's up?
Hey, guys. So happy to have you here today.
Oh, thanks.
Let's do a couple
I'm
emails.
Pumped.
Oh, yeah, you are.
I love an email.
Yeah, let's do it. We have a couple emails. Some people want some life coaching, which we're known to get. Hey, if you would like to reach out and let us know your thoughts on the game shows. I realized that I failed and I didn't take Card Sharks, which is just the epitome of stupidity, where it's like a two, and you're like, and then they're like, higher or low, Bob Eubanks would be a higher or lower.
That was a pretty. It might have been a wink. Show.
Yeah, it was pretty trash, but it was good. Kate, did you have game? Did you have American game shows down under?
Yeah, we had like Wheel of Fortune, Price is Right.
Yeah. Bob Barker.
Did you have
Jeopardy?
Tic Tac Toe.
Yeah.
Starring Wink Martindale.
Nope.
The Femme Barber.
That was a good
Bob
one
Barker.
Too.
Nope. Those are the only three I can remember.
Wow. Wink. What a name. Okay. Quick email. Oh, if you guys would like to reach out, talk about the game shows, mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com is the email address, or you can call us 949-464-TBLS. Quick email. Brian, Ed, and Kate. Those flying insects that illuminate at dusk, what do you call them? That is from Dean, first ballot TBLS Hall of Famer. I feel like he thinks that there's a Aussie.
No. There are two ways that Americans call them.
I don't know what those are.
Oh, well, I mean, they only.
We don't have any bugs that light up.
We don't have those here, but we.
Like fireflies?
Fireflies. When I was a kid.
Lightning bugs.
On the East Coast. Oh, yeah, lightning bugs.
That's what I was always told. And I
hear,
I hear fireflies more often. So I'm guessing we're the weird pronouncing it pop instead of soda kind of thing. But I was always taught lightning bug.
Well, Dean is from Omaha, so that's fucking pop country.
We don't have any gross bugs like that over here on the West Coast.
No, they are kind of cool when you're a kid.
Yeah.
We do have a huge rat. Massive. It wasn't that big, but it was terrifying. And it see that leaf right there? It fell off it and into our planter.
Oh, no. Are you never going outside again?
And then I saw
it
scramble in. From the top of the fence, I saw it scramble into the ivy.
I did see all the ivy moving. That's why I came over to look out there.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Well, there's probably a whole nest of
them. Oh my God, don't say that word. Don't say that word.
It's probably babies.
Oh my God.
Wait, do rats eat their babies? We might be okay.
Sometimes. Disgusting. Okay, thanks for that, Dean. Here's another one. Brian, Ed, and Kate. First, let me say Veep may be the best show ever made. It's That's a great show.
I agree 100%.
Indeed. Every single line is a gem. Secondly, with all the hotties invited to Brian's, it says coach. I think he means couch. Hold on. Let me start over. Secondly, with all the hotties invited to Brian's couch, how big is Brian and Kate's couch? What's he talking about?
You invited two people to sleep over.
I was saying people could spend the night. I said Lori Loughlin could spend the night. It's a two-person couch. Two people could sleep on it.
Not
laid out.
Two people can sleep on one couch.
Side by side.
What?
Yeah, it's a sectional. There's one that's like a lounge side that's for laying down, and then another person could kind of sleep on the other side, right? A small person. Yeah, I wouldn't be inviting any big bitches over.
You'd need a very short person on the lounger edge, but you can take the
cushions
off. Nobody
can sleep in the sectional part. That's just what.
I feel like Lori Loughlin's probably only like 5'2".
If I took the head cushion off.
Well, what I'm saying is maybe somebody lives here would be sleeping on the couch while I was upstairs. Not alone. Also, we have.
So what, like in the scenario in your head.
Yes. Keep going.
You would banish me to the couch.
No.
While you sex.
How dare you? I would never.
She wouldn't move out. She's just going to hang on the
someone
couch until
upstairs.
You're ready for her.
Yeah. No, she would volunteer to go down to the couch
Oh,
Brian, I understand. Yeah. Lori's here.
I'll resume my marriage when they leave.
Banging. Yes. Go ahead and wear that out. Tell her not to make too much noise.
That's exactly
but
what
it was
would
her
happen.
And,
you're right.
What
I would do.
It was the girl who hosted SNL. You also invited her.
Oh, which one was that?
The one that Kate said was considering selling her body. Something.
Oh, Halsey.
Halsey.
Oh, yeah, Halsey. Halsey. Halsey's looks kind of dirty to me. I don't know that I'd want her staying the night. Might have to do something in another location with her, just out of respect.
Maybe outside.
Out of respect
with the
to rat. You. Yeah. I'll scoop that up and take her to that gym down the block.
So super respectful. Thank
hotel
you.
Hotel where my gym is. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Hold on. Where was I saying? Oh, with all the hotties. Okay. My couch is a sectional. Okay. Now to the point. I have a friend who walked in on his wife humping a sex doll with a rather large member.
What?
This friend is upset. And I don't know. You got to proofread these things. This friend is upset and somewhat shocked. Oh, okay, somewhat shocked. This sex doll cost about $2,400. He found out.
Oh my god!
His wife says it's no different than using a vibrator. Yeah. Well, a vibrator is like $40. Yeah,
that's there's a little bit of a price difference. Yes. So I would argue there is a difference.
And also, where do you store? Also,
a doll like a full. Is it one of these torsos?
I would say like a $2,300 difference.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's and if you want a whole body involved, that's a little different than just needing some satisfaction from a dildo or vibrator.
Different. Yeah, because there's those ones that are just like a that it's just like a
I need
pelvis.
To know. I want more details about the sex doll. Like, is it Ryan Gosling? Who is it? Yeah. Does it have a
feature? That open mouth? Like all, is it all buff? Inflatable dolls? Buff.
Well, like, does it have like does it have like muscles sprayed on? Like sprayed on?
Yes. What is abs? Kate, your top three. Mm. Who are your sex dolls? Who would you have made into a sex doll that I could come home and catch you sexing? And also, we don't have room in our closet for this thing, so.
Bird Condi.
Sex dolls creep me out, so don't worry about that.
I agree with that. His wife says it's no different than using a vibrator. Is my friend correct to be really upset? Brian and Ed, what do you say? And Kate, would you be more upset if you walked in on Brian with a Japanese sex doll rather than him just watching porn and polishing his ladle?
I can't think of something more embarrassing than getting caught with a whole doll.
I don't know if upset's the right word. Yeah, extremely fucking concerned.
I would tell your friend. Yes. I mean, really, if you want to be a good buddy, I would say enjoy while she's fucking the doll because there's going to be a real dude there in like a month and a half.
Wow. Well, you're saying it's a gateway. It's a gateway dick.
Of course. She needs human connection. She needs a body. It's going to be a dude. You tell your buddy it's time to file papers.
Well, like maybe hit up a marriage counselor.
Yeah, it is. Like I don't have any problem with self-pleasure.
I don't.
He's
I don't
paying
either.
For that. Like, who's paying for that doll?
Yeah, that's a little like, weird.
Like, spending that kind purchases. Of money without like talking about it. Yeah. If you share your finances, that would be an issue for me. I'd be like, "Fuck, are you doing?"
Right.
Yeah. You just those kind of purchases you discuss a little bit.
Yeah, I've told him it's just a doll, and the fact that her doll had a 10-inch member is not a big deal. After all. When was the last time you saw a 4-inch vibrator? Thanks for your advice. I'll pass it along. Thanks, Kennard in Kansas. Yeah, I mean, it's not a deal breaker, but it's definitely it's a single eyebrow raised.
That is a red flag.
Like something, situation. Yeah, something's happening here.
Yeah, I have no problem if he found a dildo, but this is different.
Kate, what would you be more?
I just want you to know if you ever found me in that situation, you should be extremely concerned.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You trying to tell me something?
Doll? Is there a chance?
Dolls gross me out.
Is there a chance he could find this doll online and send us a link so we know exactly what she's working with?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Kennard in Kansas. Find the actual
doll. Need
more
dates on the doll.
So I can use it as a picture for our to get people to click on our podcast. Okay. Thank you for that, Kennard. That was fantastic. Hey guys, love the show. Can you give me some advice? I want to convince my lady to let me do butt stuff, but don't know how to approach the topic. Thanks for all your help, John in Dallas. Wow. Oh. Kate, you're a lady.
Maybe like a tastefully curated picture from the internet.
Oh,
and maybe like with the subject line of the email, like you into this ?
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. That's one way to approach it.
I mean, I think probably like an honest kind of conversation, make it sexy maybe while you're being intimate.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Here's what you do, John.
Oh.
Here's what you do. When you're, you slowly work up to it. So when you're back there doing work, putting it away, dorsal ventral position, you know what I'm saying? You're behind. You just lightly caress that area. You maybe get your finger a little bit wet.
Okay, Brian.
You just
like
lightly,
let's keep this PG.
You just lightly. I'm just
like,
giving
this
him
is,
advice.
This is for another podcast.
You just lightly caress the area, and if she doesn't slap your hand away, then that lets you know that the next time you can offer her a little bit more, and you work up to it. And then maybe after, when you're bathing in the afterglow, you go, "Hey, did you like what I was doing? Would you like me to do more of that? Do that. That'll work." Ed Daly, your thoughts?
I've never asked the question. It's just, it's not a desire of mine. It isn't.
Yeah. It's a thing you do in your 20s.
Yeah, I never.
That's what I'll say.
I don't know.
John's must be in his
20s. I don't know how you asked that one.
Yeah.
I think the best way to do it.
You go for it.
No, this is what you do. This is what you do.
Oh, interesting.
You wait till she's coming home from work, and then she finds you on top of a doll doing it in the doll's butt, right? Yeah. And then you point to her and say, "You want in on this?"
Hey, that's one way to go about it. Either way.
Or go out, have lots of drinks.
Yeah, you got to get her drunk first for
Come home, get it started, and then do the old whoops.
Yes. No, don't do the whoops. That can backfire, so to speak. Stay away from the whoops.
Don't listen to me. Poppers. I'm kidding.
Yeah. What's that, Ed?
Poppers. Give her some poppers.
Yes. Go to the gay side of town, get some poppers, amyl nitrate, and that relaxes things. Yeah, exactly.
We're pretty helpful.
Okay, Kate, what is going on? Thanks for all, everybody. Thank you. mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com. That was a fantastic week of voicemails and emails. Please reach out. We love it. mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com, 949-464-TBLS. Kate, what is going on in the world of pop culture? What is happening in fancy pop?
All I need is Takashi 69, Juggalos and the Beat. It's Korean or fine. Oh, I hope Kate's got this to read.
His pipes on that. Writes a bill. You can really sing. Okay, Kate. What is going on in the world of pop culture?
I don't know if any of you out there are fans of the Sharknado franchise.
Who isn't? Ian Ziering. Why isn't it Ian?
Tara Reid.
Everyone else is Ian. Why does he?
He's Ian.
Ian. I did enjoy the first one. There's been like
also
five,
why was
right?
he 30 in high school? Yeah.
So it seems that Tara was a little upset with the creators, producers of Sharknado. Oh. She, last year in December, filed a $100 million lawsuit claiming that they had misappropriated her likeness or image for commercial purpose without her consent, including slot machines and alcoholic beverages. And apparently this was not in her contract.
Oh, that's a big deal. She could get money for that.
So I'm a little confused as why this lawsuit has since been dropped.
Oh, because they chipped her off.
They must have. It doesn't say that she's been paid off, but I'm assuming that she came to some kind of a big settlement with them.
Yeah. Good for Tara. She could use it. Like, she doesn't
I feel like she could use it too.
Seem like the brightest.
She seems like she's wasted person. A lot of money on bad plastic surgery.
Yes.
Nicole, man.
I think, is she from your neck of the woods? I believe she's a proud daughter of New Jersey, Ed.
I'll have to look up where. I don't.
Yeah, look that up.
How many Sharknado movies do you think there've been?
I will say three. Three Sharknados. Three? Yes.
I would guess five because that was years ago, and they keep making them, right?
There's been
four,
six.
Whoa,
six.
The original was from 2013.
You?
I feel like I watched that
last year.
I feel like it was a real thing people were talking about.
And it was really low budge.
It was bad.
Bad.
Oh, interesting.
Ziering was there.
She grew up.
She from Jersey?
She grew up. I think I know somebody who grew up in her town.
Banged her.
She's our age.
Yeah?
Wyckoff, New Jersey. I think we can find out more about her.
Okay.
I'm going to do some digging. I'll be back.
Okay. Fantastic. Kate, what else?
Apparently, Game of Thrones creators David Benioff and D.B. Weiss mm-hmm. like to mess with the actors, mm-hmm. and sometimes mm-hmm. they write joke storylines oh, into the script
do
for
they,
them.
Do they go? Do they mess with them and go? Do they go? Hey, look at my zillion dollars.
For instance, Kit Harington had received joke scripts with fake storylines for his character. So when Maisie Williams found out that Arya Stark, the character she portrays, would have a sex scene in the final season, she thought they were playing a ha-ha on her. Turns out they were not. Arya, who was, I think, 11 on the show when the show started.
No, she was 11. The actress was 11.
Oh, she was 11? Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's now 22. Yeah. Is that right?
She's 20.
She's 22.
That's what I read. 22.
Well, I'm reading that she's 22.
Okay, yeah. I'll
Maybe
take
she's wrong.
It. Yeah.
Anyway, but on the show, her character was 11.
Yeah, sure.
So,
she was a little kid.
It was a little disturbing last night when she lost her V card.
So I don't, Ed, I know you don't watch.
Because in my mind, she's still a little kid.
I thought she was.
Yeah, she's an adult.
Okay.
But she does look young.
That is disturbing.
But the thing was, I saw this, and I'm just not, like, there's no one more liberal than me. Let me just put that out there. There's no one more fair and more just than me.
Yeah, but justice warrior.
But when I see, like, this thing where they're like, I read this whole thing where they're like, well, I read, like, two lines of it, and I was like, fuck off. Where they're like, the women characters have been treated horribly because there's been rapes and stuff on Game of Thrones. I'm like, most of the biggest characters on the show are women. Like, there's tons of very strong women portrayals. And yes, there's been rapes, but it's a dramatic show. And then also
rapes for sure happened.
Yeah. Of course. And then they're like, then I saw a thing where they're like that. Arya Stark having sex in that part of the storyline made no sense. And I'm like, well, if I had never had sex
and I thought I was going to die,
I'm for sure going to die in a few hours.
Yeah.
I might want to try to have sex
with your crush.
Yes.
Not just a rando.
Yes.
Gendry.
Or a rando.
Like, and she have been making eyes at each other for years now.
It was no big deal. Whatever. They had sex. Ed, your thoughts?
Well, she wasn't raped, right? I mean,
it was her idea.
No, she took control.
She sure did.
She climbed on it.
Also, I just want to say that the creators let Maisie Williams, is the actress's name, decide how much skin she wanted to show.
Yeah.
So she kept it pretty private.
You got some side boob there. Now, was that, I felt like that might have been CGI.
I don't know. Doesn't say.
Okay, interesting.
I got an update on Nick Cage's marriage of 4 days.
How are they doing? They're back at it. They're in love.
They don't seem to be doing so well. His wife of 4 days, Erica Koika.
Oh, your guess is as good as mine.
Is asking for spousal support in their ongoing divorce.
Is he like, I don't have it?
Erica, 35, is also against Cage's request for an annulment.
Yeah.
With reporting that she claimed that he asked her to start again in the right way only 12 days after he filed to end their marriage.
He's the best. How about I give
you... She also claimed that she lost opportunities as a makeup artist due to the ordeal and wants him to pay for her legal fees.
Nick.
Yeah.
Bad decisions. Maybe stop drinking.
He claims he was too drunk to understand his actions.
What if I give you one of my 193 Rolls Royces?
This reminds me of that scene in Peggy Sue Got Married where we got married. And then 90 minutes later, it was all over.
I'm looking at this picture of him with this very manicured beard and this kind of like, and the hair.
Unless there's a Con Air too, you're not
getting paid. And hair is fading. He looks like Wayne Newton.
Here's the thing about Nick Cage. He's a really good actor.
He's great.
Or was.
He's great. He's got it in him.
Yes, he does.
Agreed.
That's also the sad thing about Eddie Murphy. For years and years. There's something in there, but he's in terrible shit.
Yes, agreed.
So annulment, spousal support for a 4-day marriage. Where are you at with that?
I'm out on it. I'm so fucking out on it.
Dear
I'm
Hummingbird.
All the way out on it.
I won't pay you any money.
Such a great story.
My Hummingbird.
Dear Hummingbird.
Okay, what else?
Fans of AMC's Better Call Saul, which was a spinoff of Breaking Bad.
It's a good show.
Vince Gilligan co-created. Seems like Giancarlo Esposito, who plays Gus Fring is suggesting that the next season could be possibly the last.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it's got to also, be at some point. Everybody's getting older, too.
Yeah,
the last season
they have to shoot them in low light all the time.
The last season wrapped up in October, and we're not getting the next one until 2020.
Oh, yeah.
Really annoys me.
Yeah, they took long breaks. Yeah, everybody's getting old. They all have wigs on. But you could see at the end of last season that Saul has broken bad.
Yeah.
Like we're going to get, and then where's there to go from that? You know, he turns into a piece of shit.
We know where Saul's story goes. Yeah,
Saul Goodman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
but pretty good show.
It's a great show.
Yeah. And it's impressive that they had to work around the prequel. Like, when I first heard it, I thought it would be pretty gimmicky, but they were able to come up with a good show.
And make it really singular stand apart from Breaking Bad.
It has a different tone.
Yeah.
Like, it has a lighter tone than, even though people get bag over the head murdered, it does, it has a lighter feel, although it did get darker last season.
Yeah.
What else, Kate?
Seems that Colin Jost does not have a fan.
Seems like a sex doll has been commissioned to be made of Colin Jost.
Dear Hummingbird,
does not have a fan in writer Stephen Hayden, who has written a takedown piece of Jost in an UpRocks article titled "Why Does Everyone Still Hate SNL's
Such
Colin
an
Jost?"
Easy target. Like, if you want to be an interesting writer, you got to take on something that everyone loves.
Yeah. So here's a piece from it. Nobody has been quite as disliked while also being as central to the show's Jost. Among the people I know who like SNL, Jost at best is a benign presence whose essential blandness precludes feeling one way or the other about his tenure on Weekend Update, or at worst, a smug hack who relies far too often on easy frat dude punchlines with porno movies and penis sizes, Hayden wrote. Also calls him nothing less than the epitome of white male mediocrity, an empty vessel who's handsome but not that handsome, smart enough but not all that smart, and well, passably funny, though only a few grade on a generous curve. So he really goes after Jost, and I missed all of Michael Che came back and responded with a series of Instagram stories. Most of them vulgar and since deleted, but were captured in some screen grabs. I really wish I'd seen that because I follow Che.
Well, he took up on for Instagram. His guy. That's cool.
And it's really stuck up for Joe. So, I mean,
he's in a tough spot because he should want to stand up for him. But also, it would be much better if it was just Che doing it and he was gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
I kind of agree too.
Also, if I were Colin Jost,
I don't find him like offensive. He's just kind of like there.
He's if just I were the worst Colin part Jost, of the show.
I would hold up a picture of Scarlett Johansson's ass.
Well, I feel like that might have a little bit to do with it. Do you think there's some envy going on?
Hey.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah, totally.
How you doing?
I hope he does.
How you doing?
That's like a Pete Davidson comeback, and he should do that next week.
Because you got my name in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what I got?
I'm not
Look
sure.
what well, I scooped.
Not sure if Scarlett would be down with that. Yeah, He'd have to check with her, but it would be funny if he did that.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. He's like a Harvard white guy with nice hair.
Yeah.
He's not like really my cup of tea, but I don't feel like he merits
it. It's just a shitty article. It's one thing to say he's a weak part of the show, but to go on and on, it makes me think maybe he's not interested in the Scarlett Johansson part. He's got some other things he's trying to work out.
Totally good. I think I might have read a book written by this guy, Stephen Hayden.
It's very bitchy and angry.
Yeah, you're a pussy. All right, is that it, Kate?
I have one more story, possibly the most important story right now, bigger than the Mueller report, bigger than everything, is Britney Spears' possible being held against her will at a mental health facility. The hashtag Free Britney has been trending on all social media platforms for quite some time now. Prior to her being
it's over.
prior to her being shipped off to this mental health facility, she was looking a little, seeming a little unhinged on her Instagram account, which is she controls. I think it's her only outlet, and there was a lot of cries for help on it.
She controls nothing.
I think
she's under conservatorship.
I think that they let her have her Instagram. Yeah. They probably delete a lot, but she posts enough stuff that's not like, it doesn't look like somebody else has got control of it. Anyway,
the paparazzi.
She was allowed
today,
out for a day trip yesterday with boyfriend Sam Asghari, and there's a picture of her.
She really likes those Armenian dudes.
There's a picture of her, and it's very disturbing. She looks like she is on a double dose of lithium. Yep. She looks like a mess.
Her
she
hair.
Looks like a zombie. Mm-hmm. It's really upsetting.
I know. Free Britney.
Yeah. So I'm going to be watching this story closely.
Yeah, keep an eye on it. Keep us updated.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Also, a lot of fans have been questioning for a long time whether she's being held at this facility against her will. And now to add fire to this, her mom, Lynn Spears, has been fueling speculation by liking social media posts with the hashtag Free Britney.
That's how we do it these days.
Yep, that's how we let people
that's
know.
That's how we send messages. Because their mom isn't the conservator. The dad is.
No, Jamie.
Jamie Spears.
And Jamie's in very ill health.
Yeah.
So I wonder what's really going on.
Yeah. Interesting.
So keep an eye on that. I feel like Britney's in trouble.
Can't wait till the book about it comes out.
Me too. Yeah.
All right, is that it?
That's it.
All right, excellent job all the way around for Kate McManus, for Ed Daly. My name is Brian Beckner. This has been episode 265 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. We'll see you next week.
Bye, y'all.
TBLS, hell yes, the lifestyle's baller. Podcast getting bigger and not smaller. Broadcasting weekly, that's what we do. With Easy Ed Daly and the man Jay Stew and Brian Beckner, quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever. Plus, you know there's Kate with a C, but she's known as Fancy Pop to you and me. Talking loud, comments, conundrums, my brothers. Reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hit the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is for all us. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller.